Happy Friday, everybody. Thanks for dropping in and kicking off your weekend just a bit early. That's what we do here every Friday on the Be Our Guest podcast, and we're glad you're here for some awesome Disney talk. Get ready to get trapped in. Stand by or check your iPhone right now to see what the title is. We're going to have a good time today. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time for that next Disney destination, we know it's on the horizon. Whether you're deciding to go out and sail with Disney Cruise Line, maybe do an Adventures by Disney to an exotic place, or go to the tried and true destinations of Disneyland and Walt Disney World. Either way, work with the professional, passionate agents over at the Magic for Less. They're going to take care of you from the time you think about taking that trip all the way until you're back home, making sure everything goes smoothly. And more importantly, getting you the best deal possible on that Disney destination trip, so that you can get back and go again sooner rather than later. Check out all the great specials and all of the awesome testimonials their guests have given them. All the information is over at themagicforless.com. While you're there, fill out that free no-obligation quote and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Again, they're over at themagicforless.com. Remember, you can also support the show this weekend as you do your online shopping easy peasy. Just go through our Amazon affiliate link at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It costs you nothing extra. You'll get all of your Prime benefits, and it really does help support the show. Even small purchases all add up throughout the month. Helps us cover the hosting and the bandwidth and more. So please do consider using our Amazon affiliate link the next time you shop on Amazon over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1296 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. I'm a little bitter, but it's going to be a positive show. I promise you. I'm only bitter because Pam and Ricky are at Walt Disney World right now, and I'm in St. Louis, Missouri. Something's wrong with that picture, but my time will come. My time will come. I know that it's going to happen here soon, so you know, you can't be mad that you're not there. Just be glad that you've been there before. That's what I'm going to say today. So if you need a quote, hang that on the wall at your cubicle as we're wrapping up another great work week. So anyway, we're going to have some fun today. We're going to be trapped again. So get ready for that. Heading over to the studios, actually, today. Excited for that. So joining me today from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, and The Place Not to Be Named, where she's probably standing right at this second, we have Ricky. What's going on, Ricky?
All right. So not yet. I'm actually, you know, coming down tonight, so I haven't left yet. Yes, I will likely be at the place that shall not be named a lot this weekend. So I'm looking forward to it, though. Like, I really am looking forward to getting to experience like a full on like Universal trip. Like, I haven't done it in a while. So since like I went down with Pam and Steve for Memorial Day weekend, although I was sick as a dog. So it'll be nice to not be sick as a dog on a Universal trip.
Oh, you still have days to get sick. You should not have said that out loud. I know, right? So bad about that stuff. Like, I didn't used to be like that, but it happens all the time. You shouldn't, especially recorded. You are so dumb. I better send you
especially
some stuff.
Especially
with
right the now. Flu season the way it is. I totally just jinxed myself, but that's all right.
Here's the thing about Universal. Again, you know, haven't been there, but here's what I would do. If I got sick, I'd say plant me at that place called Toothsome's and see you in the morning. You know, just come get
me.
Dude,
I am so excited. I've already decided that I'm going to Toothsome's because they have a brand new cookie shake. Although, like, it's like a chocolate chip cookie like shake, but then they also have a birthday cake shake too, and I have to make a decision on which one I want because I can't be the big fat cow that gets two giant milkshakes. So. Yeah. I mean, I could be, but I really don't want to be that person because it comes with a piece of cake on top.
I saw that. That's why you're bumming that Brian's not going. He's such a Hawks fan. He's staying back in Atlanta. He's not helping you out.
I know. I mean, maybe I could convince my brother to get the one, but he really wants to try the peanut butter and jelly one, which I'm not all in for. Ooh. So I don't know. But maybe I can convince him to get the you know, because he lives there. So I can convince him to get the birthday cake one and then split that with me, and then I'll split the cookie one with him, and then maybe we'll do that. I don't know. We'll see how much my brother loves me.
He lives at Toothsome? That's weird.
Well, you know, he lives at Universal, basically.
Okay. All right, also joining us, and also equally upset with her at this point, because she's down in Central Florida, too. We have Pam Forrester. You guys could even be going to spring. This is killing me. You could be going to spring training, too. Oh, I love spring training. Anyway.
My dad is actually going to spring training.
Stop. Yes. Just stop. Just yes. Knock it off. Yes. Knock it off. I'm happy to be listening on the radio. And you guys are going. Anyway, Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. Bitter with you as well, but have a good time.
You don't have to be bitter.
I'm not. I'm just, yeah, I am. Go ahead.
Don't be in the bitter barn. Yes. I'm happy to be checking out the Flower and Garden Festival. I you know, I love the way that Epcot looks. I mentioned this on Wednesday's show. I love the way it looks, though, when it's dressed up for this festival. So I think it looks especially pretty, almost as pretty as it does during the holidays. So I'm just going to say this is one of my favorite times to be there. The weather's typically really nice. I'm just looking forward to it.
Well, have fun and post a lot so I can see what I'm missing. And then check it out later. All right. So today we're continuing our series of Trapped In. We've done Adventureland and Frontierland over at the Magic Kingdom, but we're going to hop over to Disney's Hollywood Studios. And today we're going to be trapped in Sunset Boulevard in the studios. And what we do in this series is kind of talk about how if we were not allowed to leave that section of the park, that area, that land of the park, how could we make the most of that time? So we're going to dive into everything that part of the park has to offer and, you know, realistically talk about how much time we could spend without leaving that area. So today we're doing Sunset Boulevard, which if you're not positive, you know, as you come into Disney's Hollywood Studios, Hollywood Boulevard is basically your main street you're coming up, you know, the main thoroughfare kind of equivalent to Main Street USA at the Magic Kingdom. And if you hang a right there by the Starbucks, you know, or what's it actually called? It used to be...
The red trolley there.
The tip board used to kind of be on the opposite side of the road there back in the day. But, you know, if you hang a right there, that is Sunset Boulevard all the way down to Fantasmic and Tower of Terror at the end of the street. So there's actually a lot going on here. Off the top of the show, though, what I would say is if I had to be trapped on Sunset Boulevard, I would rather be trapped on Sunset Boulevard from, say, late afternoon until park closing than from park opening till mid to late afternoon. Do you agree with me there, Pam? Because I think you have much more, I think it'd be a much more pleasant experience late afternoon into night than morning into afternoon.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think there's something about, and I always have, there's something about Disney's Hollywood Studios at night. The neon, it looks just especially awesome in the evening. And I think that I really enjoy being there. Even if I'm not, you know, seeing Fantasmic, just being able to hear it sometimes in the background just kind of makes me smile. I love being able to do that. And I think there's just, you know, a lot of cool stuff to do there. So yeah, I love the evening for sure.
Yeah, it's such a underrated, beautiful park with all the neon. I love it. And I know a lot of it's on Hollywood, not in Sunset, but I mean, you do have a lot more kind of at that Sunset Hollywood intersection. There's a lot of neon right there. It's just this park is awesome at night, and the Tower of Terror is kind of menacing at night in the distance there. Now I will say one thing you would give up if you had to be trapped on Sunset and you did it, say, from park opening till mid afternoon, you're way more likely to get performances from Streetmosphere, which is one of the reasons I definitely go to Disney's Hollywood Studios. You're not going to get so many of those live, skits or whatever they put on performances at night. So Ricky, what do you say as far as being trapped there, say the first half of the day as opposed to the second half of the day?
I think I agree with you guys. I think that the nighttime would be the better time to be trapped down there, or late afternoon, you know, into the evening, because you also then have Fantasmic, which you can take advantage of too. So you couldn't necessarily take advantage of that during the daytime. So I think, you know, it gives, like you said, it gives off a much better feel at night. You've got the Tower of Terror when it gets all spooky looking and stuff like that, which makes it even more intense, I think, even though I don't ride it. But, you know, walking through it, it makes it more intense. So, you know, I'm just saying, like, I think the nighttime is definitely my number one. It's my number one time, like, to be at Hollywood Studios in general. Although I keep saying that about, like, all the parks. Like, I keep going, I really do like being there at night, and it's, you know, and it keeps adding, like, Animal Kingdom, I think, is great, better at night too. And of course, Magic Kingdom is awesome at night. And then you've got Epcot at night. So really just all the parks are awesome at night. I'm just saying.
They take on a different, and I've heard this said in, like, you know, Travel Channel shows from back 10 years ago that I used to just be hooked on, you know, because we've all seen them 28 times. But, you know, it is the personality of the park is way different during the day. And then when you come back at night, you know, just it has a different feel. It has a different look. You tend to be trying to do different kinds of experiences at night as opposed to maybe first thing at Rope Drop in the morning. What I would say about Sunset off the top, too, is that obviously this is the destination for thrill seekers at Disney's Hollywood Studios, because you have two e-ticket attractions that, you know, not everybody is going to go to. You know, there's a lot of people who, tend to shy away from these two attractions, which are the Hollywood Tower of Terror, you know, and you have the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, and you have the Rock and Roller Coaster, which has inversions. It goes very fast. It has a, you know, blast off from 0 to 60, you know, in a couple seconds, 3 seconds. These are things that you do have to kind of be a thrill junkie to go to, and they're two of the more intense experiences anywhere on property. So, Ricky, I mean, obviously this is kind of the place to be for a thrill seeker, but not really much other than some shows for anybody else that's not a thrill seeker on Sunset.
Yeah, that's true. You've got the couple shows there, and obviously you've got a lot of, like, you know, food and shopping that you can do. But it's definitely a thrill seeker's paradise on Sunset, for sure. I mean, 100% thrill seeker's paradise. So.
Now, I do both attractions. I do Rock and Roller Coaster and I do Tower of Terror. I will say that I can do Rock and Roller Coaster 2 or 3 times in, like, a day. And that's, again, you know, I'm not as young as I used to be. You know, I used to be able to do it all the time, you know, 2 or 3 times. And I'm like, that's cool. Somebody else can take my seat now. Tower of Terror, 1 time and I'm done. You know, and it's the thing is, I love Tower. I love the queue. I love the pre-show. I love the anticipation of getting on the ride. I would really like the ride more if it just kind of dropped 1 time. The thing that gets me kind of ill after a couple of times on it is the up and down, up and down, up and down. You know, and they added that years later.
Yeah.
But if it didn't do that, I could probably take it multiple times, you know, and be fine. Pam, where do you fall on these two attractions? And how do you feel about as far as thrill seekers versus those who are not seeking thrills when it comes to the Sunset Boulevard area?
Yeah, I think if you're not a thrill seeker, just because of the height requirement, first of all, that's going to eliminate some parties with young kids. And the thrill-seeking aspect. And I also feel like I don't consider myself not a thrill-seeker. Like, there's attractions that I really enjoy that are thrilling. But for some reason, these two in particular, Rock and Roller Coaster is challenging to do. You know, it just, at times, I feel like it really kind of rattles my brain around. Not in the same way Space Mountain does. I don't feel like I need, like, a stretcher like I do after Space Mountain. But I just feel a little off the rest of the day. And it's almost not worth it for me anyway, to do this one anymore. I still do every now and then, just not my favorite. And I feel the same as you do with Tower of Terror. It's the up and down that's fine. Mm-hmm. If it would just drop me, I'm good with that. I really don't have that fear. But the up and down, by like the second up and down, I'm like, oh, yeah. So anyways, but the good news is there is a great show that you can see, and you're at the Beauty and the Beast show. And I think that one, is, you know, a crowd favorite. And in addition, the live action movie, of course, made that popular again. So.
All right, so let's talk about that, because there's, you know, we got Rock and Roller Coaster, we got Tower of Terror, and I also wanted to address kind of the same idea with Beauty and the Beast. These things have been there for quite a long time, and these three attractions on Sunset have all had just rampant rumors about changes coming to them for years. I mean, for years and years. Of course, Rock and Roller Coaster is themed to Aerosmith, which I don't know. I like their music. I'm not a huge fan. Like, I don't go out and seek it, but I don't think they've had a lot of new albums lately in the last, you know, few years. And I know kids don't know. I don't think.
I mean, I have not.
Yeah. Steven Tyler still with us? I think he is. Barely. He's hanging on.
Yes. He does look like a woman, but yeah.
Dude looks like a lady. So I'm just saying. But I mean, Ricky, like what, again, looking in a crystal ball, it's kind of, this is what we do as Disney fans. You know, it's kind of like our Monday morning quarterbacking for football. But, you know, say 5 years down the line, is Rock and Roller Coaster? Because, I mean, 5 years ago, we'd have probably said, no way, it's going to be it's going to be Jonas Brothers. It's going to be Taylor Swift. Ooh, it could be a Taylor Swift. It could be the Swiftie.
I think we did.
Because I got a lot of flack from people who did not like my idea about Maroon 5. So I'm just saying.
And that was a good call not to change it to Maroon 5. So
I'm just saying, I got a lot of flack from that. So, I mean, you know, I still stand behind that 100%. But your flack did nothing to me. But, you know, I do think, I mean, let's put it this way. I think that Rock and Roller Coaster will stick around in its current incarnation until one of the members of Aerosmith is no longer with us anymore. I just think that that's kind of where we're at. Now, I mean, it depends.
Which one is not going to be with us first?
The drummer? I don't know. Right? Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, I don't know. But it's just a matter of time at this point. So, I mean, I hate to say that, but I just, unless, like, you know, Disney, because we know that they can't, I don't really think that they can do much with Marvel there. So, you know, they've somehow been able to worm their way into getting Guardians of the Galaxy, which truthfully, I think that maybe that might have been a better place for Guardians of the Galaxy attraction than Universe of Energy. Because I think you could have, you know, done the whole, like, you know, the whole mixtape thing there. I think that would have been a much better choice, but whatever. I digress. So anyway, so it's going to be really interesting to see what they would end up doing with Rock and Roller Coaster once all of it shakes out and one of the members of Aerosmith dies. So I just don't think we're going to see anything happen.
Ricky is making very, very, very kind of depressing predictions.
I know. Steven Tyler, I am so sorry. I am so sorry for
right.
For
and he listens to our podcast
I'm sure
every week.
Yeah. He used to.
Joe Perry sit around and they listen to it. Yes. They're like, "Oh, there's a new episode of
There are two other members of Aerosmith that could potentially
saying that they listen to it together.
They do.
Okay.
Let's get it on Tuesday night too, by the way.
That's right. Hey, exactly. Unless you're driving right now, let's all do it together. Put your fingers up on your head and go, that's a great idea. Backstage passes.
Oh my gosh.
Let's all do it together.
No, stop.
I love that line. You know, here's the thing, though. Okay, because I want to move on past. There's a lot more in Sunset than Rock and Roller Coaster. But here's the thing. When I see it from, like, you know, the 20,000 foot level or from, like, you know, back in St. Louis thinking about my trip this summer, you know, I think, oh, it's stale. But the problem is, like, here's the deal, though. Like, literally, when I ride that ride, that soundtrack is awesome for a roller coaster. Like, when, you know, they're playing Dude Looks Like a Lady or Loving It on a Roller Coaster. Like, that soundtrack makes the ride. Like, that ride, that is a great combo. You know, as much as I dog on it and it's stale, like, I'm like, yeah, when I ride it, it does fit. It still does fit. But what do you say?
That's true.
Anyway. All right, so let's talk Tower of Terror for a second because, of course, Disneyland had their Tower of Terror changed to Guardians of the Galaxy, getting great reviews out there. One of the best attractions at Disney's California Adventure. Ricky is, you know, for right now, it's untouchable. I mean, they're not changing it. You know, Twilight Zone it's a franchise from the 1950s. You know, kind of fits the theme of the studios, but, you know, Mallory Page should probably never seen a Tower of Terror or a Twilight Zone episode. So what say you to the future of that staying as is?
I mean, I think that if they were going to have redone it, they would have redone it with the Guardians of the Galaxy. But instead, they moved Guardians of the Galaxy to, you know, Epcot, which I'm perfectly fine. I mean, overall, I think I can't ride Tower of Terror. I'm like you guys. I can't do the up and down motion, which makes me so sad because I think the Tower of Terror is by far one of the best attractions that Walt Disney World has. I mean, it really is. The story, you don't have to have seen a single episode of the Twilight Zone to understand what's going on, which is great because I've never seen a single episode of the Twilight Zone.
Oh,
but I still,
I know.
I'm terrible. I want Maroon 5 over at Rock and Roller Coaster, and I've never seen Twilight Zone.
Matt Parrish is going to be texting or like getting you on Twitter so bad because like he watches it every Memorial Day. There's a sci-fi marathon.
I'm an awful person. I know. Yeah. I don't like spooky, weird things. I don't like to watch that kind of stuff. So like, it just never appealed to me. But anyway, so I know it's not really spooky, but you know, it was back in the day at one point. But anyway, so, but I think that overall, Tower of Terror's theme, I mean, is seriously one of the best themes that's going around at Walt Disney World. Like, it tells the story from beginning to end. I mean, walking up to it, it tells the story. You know, going through the queue, it tells the story. You know, seeing the pre-show tells the story. Going through the boiler room, I mean, all of it. Like I said, I don't ride the ride, and I like walking and experiencing the attraction just by going through the queue. So that's my way of experiencing the attraction. And I really wish that it didn't make me want to throw up everywhere, because I really think that the story of the attraction is really cool, and I wish that I could see it. And I'm like you, I think that maybe if I knew, like, hey, I'm only going up one time and I can brace myself for it, like, I would probably like it a little bit better. But since I don't know how many times I'm going to go up and down, I just don't want to chance it. So, but I think it's one of the best attractions that Walt Disney World has, and I don't even ride it. So.
Yeah, it totally is. I mean, it's definitely a top five attraction, if not top one. I mean, it's got everything. It's got thrills, it's got theming, it's got just, it's there. It's park icon, basically. I will say, you know, if you're ever going to watch, too, I showed these to my sixth graders every year. They loved them. See, Time Enough at Last. That's one of the best ones. Time Enough at Last. I think with Bergman. I forgot what his first name is. And also, it's something at 20,000 feet. It's the one with the gremlin that gets on the wing of the airplane. That's one of the reasons I never flew. I was like, dude, William Shatner's in that one, and there's this gremlin on the plane, like, tearing it up while they're flying. Oh, man. I can't watch that one, though, right now, because
it's
I'm good to fly.
Oh, it is.
It's on the wing. What? It was never out there. It was playing games with Shatner. Anyway, okay, here's another situation we have on Sunset Boulevard. We have lots of predicaments here, and this one's come up over the last 2 to 3 years. So Fantasmic used to be just a go-to. You know, you ended your day with Fantasmic like you used to, Wishes at the studio or at Magic Kingdom, Illuminations at Epcot, no question. Now you got a pickle, because a lot of times you have the Star Wars fireworks and Fantasmic in the same night, but it is literally impossible to see both, you know, and have a good experience at either one. So Pam, what say you to guests who are like, oh, do I do Star Wars? Do I see Fantasmic? I mean, what do you do? Because that is a tough call for a lot of folks.
Yeah, it is. And sometimes it is possible to see both. It really depends on the timing, but at times you can see Fantasmic. And if you manage to get out of there early, then you'll be able to catch some of the Star Wars fireworks. We probably won't have a great location right exactly where you want to get it, but you still should be able to see some of the fireworks. But I think, you know, for those who are Star Wars fans, I really feel like the Star Wars fireworks are something that you have to make time to go see. I think that that's like a no-brainer for those who really like Star Wars. For those who have young kids, I think sometimes they don't, you know, the Fantasmic is better for them for most of the time, except for it can get a little scary. And that's something that we've heard from a few guests, that they had kids who were, you know, frightened by this. So that's something that you have to think of. But I think it's still something that you're just like, oh, I don't know which one I want to go see. And I think it's really such a personal choice, because I think overall you can't say this one is better than this one.
Yeah, it's one of those things too. Like, Fantasmic is my Pam's favorite nighttime show. Like, she loves it. I love it when I get in there. Like, I never regret going to Fantasmic, because it's a great show. It's got fire. It's got a lot of characters. It's got a lot of action. It's got, you know, boats. It's got a lot of stuff. I mean, it's a good stage show with extra elements in it. You're sitting down, you know, you have a seat. But the thing about Fantasmic is you got to understand is that you have to invest time for this one, because it takes time to kind of wait for the show, and then it takes time for the stadium to load. It takes time to get out of the stadium. So there are ways to kind of minimize that time through FastPass or through a dining package. But I mean, Pam, you gotta also consider that you're not gonna be in and out of Fantasmic quickly. It's one of those things that it's worth it once you do it, but you do have to realize it's gonna take a decent chunk of time either way.
It really is. And that's the thing. You have to be prepared to be there early. And you know that it will take some time to get out of that theater, because it's a huge theater.
Yeah, it is. But it's so fun. So one other thing, now this one isn't happening this summer, but I got to throw it in there that I loved this last year, and I hope Disney brings stuff like this back. That music of Pixar Live that they did at Beauty and the Beast. I know you mentioned Beauty and the Beast earlier. You know, that was one of those things that they had professional musicians playing live music from Pixar films while the characters came out. And they showed segments from the Pixar movies and shorts and stuff on the screen. Man, this was one of the coolest things I've ever done at Walt Disney World. Ricky, I know, did you get a chance to do that? I think you did, right?
I did. It was awesome. Fantastic. I mean, it was so great to see the live orchestra there. The show was fantastic. You know, the scenes that they showed were great. The Up scene was so heart-wrenching, and I hate Disney for doing that to me again. It was such a wonderful show. And unfortunately, I don't think it's coming back this year, which makes me so sad because I think it would tie in so well.
Yes, that's what I keep thinking. It would draw people away. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Toy Story Land would be perfect this summer. Why do not, you know, maybe they'll announce it still. But I mean, I just think do it this summer again. It was popular and this is the time to do it because it's got synergy. You know what I'm saying? With Toy Story Land,
it's perfect. You've got The Incredibles too, you know, coming out this summer too. So it would tie in really well with that because that was such a huge part of the show, you know, last year too. So I think it would be a genius idea to bring it back. I just don't think that they're going to do it.
Yeah, I was thinking about that on my run the other morning. Like, this is the summer to bring that back. I mean, Pam, what do you think about that, Pam? Should they bring it back? And is there a chance they may? I mean, of course, just guessing.
I haven't heard any rumors yet, but like you, I loved it. I thought that it was such a great addition to Hollywood Studios and that it really, you know, it took over for where they still showed Beauty and the Beast during the day. And this was in the late afternoon, early evening. And it was really such a performance. It really exposed people to the beauty that is all of the music from some of those Pixar films. Like, you know, we had mentioned it on another podcast when we saw that, people heard the opening credit music from Up.
People cried.
It was awful. I bawled my eyes out. So did Brian.
This show brought to you by Kleenex. Yeah, exactly.
I know, right? I never think of that kind of crying though as being awful because the reason why you're crying is you were emotionally connected with that. And when you think about the things through your life that you can emotionally connect on that level with, there aren't really that many things that you can. So I think, you know, that's the kind of thing that makes you cry, I think, in a good way, that it helps you appreciate what you have and all that. I don't want to, you know, wax too poetic on this, but I think that even the music from Monsters, Inc., which is a lot more upbeat and whatever, is so important to that music. And it really illustrated that for so many people. And I think that it also gave so many people who may not have that opportunity because of where they live or the opportunities available there to see a live orchestra perform this kind of thing. So I thought it was such a huge plus for that park. And I would love to see something like that again.
Definitely. It was an unexpected delight. And I hope Disney continues to provide those for the guests, because I think what we're seeing is, you know, the parks are getting busier and busier. And I think they need to think outside the box for, you know, you don't have to make roller coasters, even though, you know, Slinky Dog Coaster is going to be fun. The attractions in Toy Story Land are going to be awesome. But I connected with that. You know, like, as fun as the Slinky Dog Coaster is going to be, and I'm going to have a great time with my family on that attraction, I'm sure. I connected in a certain way with that music and that experience. And so did my, you know, Paige, because, like, you know, Monsters, Inc. came out when she was a little kid. And I remembered, you know, seeing that for the first time when she was little. And it was cool to see it with her when she was now in college. You know, I think that they need stuff like that. Anyway, don't want to spend too much time on that. So, Ricky, let's jump into shopping on Sunset. And then we'll get into dining and we'll cut people loose for the weekend. But shopping, there's some unique, decent shopping on Sunset. Not a bad place to. Hollywood's got some, too. But Sunset, where are we going to go and get, what kind of stuff can we get there?
I mean, I know this is like still kind of dining in a weird way, but one of my favorite places is the Sweet Spells, because I love that it's a true like bakery. You know, they offer all the different, I know that the Starbucks offers like the bake, you know, some of the bakery things, but it's also mixed in with Starbucks stuff. But with the actual Sweet Spells, it's all Disney all the time, like bakery stuff. So it's, you know, your candied apples, it's the carrot cake, cookie, it's the Rice Krispie treats. I mean, it's the traditional what you think of when you think of Disney food. So like, I really do love that store. And of course you've got the fact that you can buy all the bulk candy too and stuff like that. So I know they've talked about a rumor about how maybe this store might be going away, but it's seriously one of my favorite stores, and I really would regret, I would hate to see Disney changing this. But then you've also got the Once Upon a Time store, which is basically a lot of the Disney themed apparel, jewelry, that kind of thing. It's a kind of a traditional catch-all Disney like memorabilia store. You know, if you're looking for something Disney related, you're probably going to find it here. And then there's also like, okay, so I know that this isn't a store that's necessarily on the map, but there is a Planet Hollywood store that's on Sunset. And if you've ever been in there, it's kind of unique because they do have some memorabilia from like movies and stuff like that. I think for a while they had a Power Ranger costume in there, but they've had other stuff too. So it's kind of a unique store to kind of just go through and look at and see what they have, because they do offer some, you know, they do offer Planet Hollywood stuff, but the memorabilia stuff is really unique to look at. So those are kind of some of my favorite places to stop at.
And all these stores, again, just like any place in Disney, they're really well themed, you know, as far as the area. You know, they're fun to walk. If you're not a shopper, walk through the stores and just look at the walls and the ceilings and the accent pieces, because again, they're themed to the area. So it's kind of fun to do that, even if you're not looking for t-shirts and stuff like that. Ricky, is that one store? I think it's Once Upon a Time, or I'm trying to think what it's called, but do they still have those watches? I mean, that was one of the things they were known for in the past, but is that something they don't do anymore? I can't remember. I know they had a watch shop.
I don't know if they're doing that or not anymore.
Pam, do you
know? If they are, it would be in the store.
I thought they had watches on Sunset at some point, right, Pam? Didn't they at some point? That was what they're known for?
In the jewelry store, they did. Yeah.
These are coming out. Yeah.
What is the name of it?
Once Upon a Time, maybe? I'm trying
that
to think.
Might be it. I don't know if that's it or not.
Well,
that is the name of the store there, so...
I used to remember looking at the watches and saying, I know they did custom watches at some point there, but I think I heard they don't do that anymore.
Maybe they don't.
That's a place to get it. Anyway, so there's lots of, you know, stuff to do there as far as shopping. Now, here's the deal with dining on Sunset. If you're hungry, you're either getting some really good snacks, you know, it's Sweet Spells, which is, you know, if you want to eat junk, and that's what we do on vacation, no problem with that. Eat it 24/7. But, well, here's one. I got to ask this of our audience, because our audience is with us today. So you have the Anaheim produce, and you got, you know, they look good. Because I remember our Six Flags back in the day when I was a little kid, they sold like oranges and, I don't know, grapes, stuff like that. Maybe lemons. I don't know. Do people buy produce in a theme park? I mean, I guess people that want to eat healthy, that's a great option to have there. But I don't think I've ever seen anybody buy like an orange. Do people buy that? I guess they must.
I guess that they do. I mean, I'm trying to think, have we bought? So you know what they typically have there that we do buy at those little produce stands? They have like hummus and like pretzels that are typically available in those little prepackaged cups. And then sometimes we'll buy some of the apples. You know, the apple slices come with caramel, I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. So they're pretty good. But, and you know what I have seen people buy, Mike? The pickle. People buy the pickle.
That's true.
Well, dude, I used to work at a skating rink, and we sold pickles like they were going out of business at that place the whole time I worked there for like 20 years. It was crazy. Like people, like yeah, kids would buy dill. They were dill pickles because they were the cheapest thing on the menu. That's probably why they bought them, because I think we sold them for like a quarter. I mean, they were gigantic, but yeah, maybe that's it. But the thing is, here's the thing. I don't know if you guys would like this too. Like, it looks so good. I almost am drawn over there because, like, the display looks almost like something out of a painting. Like, I want to buy, like, a grapefruit because it looks so good. Even though, I don't need to eat a grapefruit. I'm going to eat cheese fries. I'm on vacation, you know? Like, I don't want to eat healthy, but I understand people do. If you get that stuff, I'm not saying anything wrong. I'm just saying, I want to buy that. But then, like, do I want to eat an orange? No, I want to eat, you know, a turkey leg. So, speaking of... So you have a Fairfax Fair down there, kind of on the left as you're approaching Tower of Terror, you know, facing Tower of Terror. You know, it's sold turkey legs in the past, but is it now still, Ricky, the baked potatoes, or what do we get there now? I can't remember.
Oh my! Oh, it's which changed, one? Fairfax Fair. They change the menu. It seems like every 2 minutes.
And Mike, you're gonna like what's at Fairfax Fair because they have like a Chipotle bowl.
Yes.
Lord. I told you they change it every 2 minutes. I didn't.
Yes, they do. They have like cilantro rice and beans and things like that. And then they also have an empanada platter, which, hello, that's a good thing. And pulled pork sandwiches and fajitas. So I'm just saying.
Well, scratch what I just said. You could totally live on Sunset Boulevard. Those are the major four. I mean, you got everything you need. You got Mexican food and you got sweets. I mean, you never,
there
again,
you go. Trapped, exactly. Trapped yeah, on Sunset. They do. Okay. I'm total. And they do have the baked potato apparently too. It's so I am all in. I did not know Fairfax Tariff Fair had this. So I may take back my comment about Disney's Hollywood Studios counter service not being good. We'll have to see. I'm going to have to try it out.
So all I'm saying
is the place that we end up eating because, you know, I think the rest of them are not good. So.
Oh, well, then there you go. Yeah. Rosie's is not good. Oh, well,
we're
sure.
not there yet. I'm just saying you can lock me up and throw away the key on Sunset. I'm set. You know, I'm good. I'm good. See, I didn't think I could stay all day there. I'm fine. There's restrooms and there's Mexican food and, you know, chocolate. So good. So finally, let's wrap up with if you want to go fine dining, you do have the Rosie's All-American Cafe and Catalina Eddie's. So if you really want to class it up and not eat at a stand at Fairfax Fair, you want to go to a different stand that's just recessed back a little bit further, and there are actually tables with umbrellas, you know, to keep you out of the sun. You're not eating inside, you're eating outside, but you do have umbrellas. So, Pam, talk to us about Rosie's and Catalina Eddie's. Kind of, they're you would think they're one stand, but they're actually just two windows. But talk to us about that.
Yes, they are, and they serve the ever popular cheese pizza and pepperoni pizza and the Caesar salad with chicken. I mean, you know, just stuff like that. So, I mean, but it's just your standard stuff that you can get at most places, really. There's not really anything.
No, there's burgers.
And burgers. And then, you know, in addition to these two locations, which you are right, Mike, at least that these have like, you know, seating right there, although you can definitely you get food somewhere else and go to that seating. But there also is someplace back by the Rock and Roller Coaster. There's that KRNR location that has like a hot dog and some chips.
I'm sorry. I'm not bucking hot dogs and chips out of a little stand.
And there's also something back by Tower of Terror. There is. That's right. They have the coffee slushie.
That is good. That's actually a Joffrey's counter. Yes. So I'm all in there. That's delicious. So that's okay. But I'm not going for the hot dog out of a, you know, cart that looks like a
KRNR dog. That's awesome. Anything that's like 28 steps outside of getting off of a roller coaster that inverts you four times, it's probably not good. That serves a hot dog.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want after getting off of Rock and Roller Coaster. 100%. Yeah.
I'm just saying. They have ice cream too, apparently, it says.
Yes, there is ice cream over there too.
Good. Get an ice cream hot dog. Nice. Here's the thing, though, as we wrap up the show, and this is why I like doing these shows, because on the surface, before we started recording 34 minutes ago, you know, I didn't realize that there are this many things. And of course, we didn't talk about Streetmosphere. We kind of glanced over that, but that's really one of the hidden gems of Disney's Hollywood Studios. They're the most talented entertainers because of the improv they bring the guests into the show.
Totally.
It's really back to what Disney's Hollywood Studios was in 89. You know, it was you become part of the show. You know, you are a part of the entertainment. So, Ricky, real quick, if nobody's familiar with Streetmosphere, maybe you're new to the Disney universe here, give us a couple minute briefing on that, and then we'll kind of close out here.
Streetmosphere is seriously one of the best things. I love it so much. So there's random interactions that you can have. So basically what Streetmosphere is there are these characters that are all set to the time period of, you know, the 1940s, 1930s, 1950s era of Hollywood. And they're all, you know, Hollywood actors, Hollywood producers, you know, in the industry, that kind of thing. And they are putting on skits. Some of them are, you know, little side skits that they do. And some of them are, you know, skits with a bunch of them, a bunch of the characters. And the way there are, my favorite is the funniest Citizen in Hollywood skit, which is just hysterical. I mean, you have to sit and watch it for a little bit, but it's so great because they whittle down like five different fear characters into the number one, you know, funniest citizen of Hollywood for the day. And you never know what you're going to get because they get suggestions from people in the audience for, you know, telling jokes. So it's all improv, you know, what they do. I mean, of course, they have a general like idea behind what they do. And of course, you know, some of the things that they ask for are things that they're, you know, they know what they're going to get in a way out of the questions that they ask the audience. But For the most part, it's, you know, all improv all the time. And it's just, I love improv. I think if you can do improv, bravo to you, because it is not easy to do. It is super hard. I've tried to do it. I failed miserably. And I know I failed miserably. So, you know, more power to every single one of those actors that are out there doing the Streamosphere, because they do a fantastic job. And I make sure and stop, you know, just about every time just to watch their shows, because they really are so fantastic.
Yeah, I love when they're doing those like set skits, but I also love when like you'll see the police officer kind of off to the side, like, and you're just, you know, you're just minding your own business and they're not really doing anything. They're just kind of hanging out. But then like if you're trying to run to a fast pass at Tower of Terror, they'll be like, they'll blow the whistle, woo, and they'll give you a ticket, you know, because you're speeding on Sunset. Or like, you know, you're walking down. This has happened to me a couple times and it cracks me up both times it happened to me. Like, you know, the director guy's out there with that clapboard that, you know, and there's somebody, the cameraman's next to him. Like, you know, you're just trying to get the Rock and Roller Coaster because, you know, your fast pass is going to expire in 5 minutes. You know, Mallory's going to have a meltdown if we don't get on it, because that's her favorite ride. And he's like, cut, cut, cut. And he calls you over like, that is not how we're doing this scene. You are supposed to strut down Sunset, you know? And, so, like, you are rolling because it's, like, so funny. You're really just trying to get to a fast pass. But at that point, you're just part of the show. I mean, and everybody's laughing at you, or you see somebody else getting drawn in, and you're just kind of, you can't leave because, you know, this dude who looks like a linebacker, he's telling him to walk down Sunset like a ballerina, and the dude's doing it, you know? Like, that's,
yes.
I mean, Pam, do you have memories like that? I love when it's just kind of like, you're not expecting it, and all of a sudden, bam, like, it happens.
100%. I got yelled at once because I was walking through the scene and I was just like you. I was just trying to get from one place to another. He's like, ma'am, you're ruining our scene. So, I mean, you know, but I think they just do such a fantastic job and they really get the crowds engaged in it. And I think that's the cool thing about Hollywood Studios. And I think there's lots of opportunity to do that. Because, it, you know, at one point when it opened, it was supposed to be a working, you know, a working set. And so to bring a little bit of that back in to kind of, you know, embrace that history of the park and that part of our country, I think is a really cool thing.
All right. So there you go. If you ever get trapped on Sunset Boulevard, more there than you might think, you might have a great time. And you're going to be eating good, let me just tell you. So hopefully you enjoyed today's show. We appreciate you hanging
still
with
good.
Us.
Still good. It's debatable, but oh, yeah. You know.
You're going to be eating.
Not hot dogs from outside of Rock and Roller Coaster. Right? Please don't do that. I beg you.
Well, don't back in the day, they used to have those hot dogs that had like all the fancy stuff, like the mac and cheese on them. And so,
these
I remember
aren't fancy
those.
Hot dogs. No. This is just a hot dog. Just a hot dog.
They're out a Rock and Roller Coaster
truck.
Hot dog.
Out of a truck. Out okay. of a truck.
Anyway, so... check it out on your next trip. Turn right off of Hollywood. Have a good time on Sunset Boulevard. So thanks for hanging with us on today's show. Again, it's brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. When you're headed to a Disney destination like Sunset Boulevard at Disney's Hollywood Studios, or, you know, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney, drop by themagicforless.com first. Check out all the great specials. Read the testimonials. Their guests love their agents. They have relationships. Those agents work hard for the guests. The guests appreciate that. And it's just it's a great thing because... you know, you want to have an awesome Disney vacation, but guess what? Your agent wants you to have an awesome Disney vacation as well. They're experts. They're passionate about the destinations. It's a great relationship. So just to get in on that, and it costs you nothing extra. You get lots of booking goodies as well. We got lots of, you know, get yourself a laundry bag. I know that sounds so dumb, but I'm telling you, the guests that have booked with the Magic for Less that have the laundry bag, that thing's awesome. I'm just saying, like, I do not leave for a Disney destination without mine. That sounds so crazy to say it out loud.
I don't leave for anywhere without mine. If I'm going on a trip and I'm taking a suitcase, I am putting my Mouse for Less laundry bag in said suitcase. It happens every time.
It's crazy. And almost
actually,
everybody
Brian
gets one.
Actually, Brian uses his to take laundry to work for dry cleaning. So
I can see that. Yeah. Anyway, just check out the great specials. Those agents love working with their guests. It's an awesome thing. No cost to you. So drop by themagicforless.com. Fill out the free no obligation quote. An agent will get back to you right away. And thank you so much for your support. Again, themagicforless.com. And also, don't forget, as you're shopping over the weekend, all these little purchases do add up. Please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We really appreciate that. Follow along on the fun this weekend as Pam and Ricky are down at Walt Disney World. You can I'll be retweeting all the stuff. So at brguestmike on Instagram and Twitter. And of course, the stuff will be on Facebook. The pictures, the videos, the... who knows what else, but drop by Facebook, facebook.com/brguestpodcast. All right, we're going to be back again together on Monday for another great trip report. But until then, we want you to have an awesome weekend. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike. Wish you a safe and fun weekend, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.